Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 3724 of The Wayward Dragons. If you're missing a few episodes, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know what episode we're on.
I don't know. Yeah,
so this is our review episode.
I stopped numbering them a long time ago.
Yeah, nobody got time for that.
No.
It's when you number episodes, and so here's my opinion. Unless you are doing a narrative podcast.
Yeah.
We are not.
Yeah, no.
If you number episodes, it just makes you feel like, oh, hey, I have to listen to every episode of this.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to every episode, you know what? That's
totally okay. You don't have to.
You got shit to do, man.
Yeah.
But just listen to when you can and share when you can.
Yeah.
That being said, hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Kelsey. And welcome. Welcome to our review episode. How are you?
Yeah. I am mentally dead, but that's okay. We got me doing a bunch more stuff at work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep on keeping on.
I feel that.
How about yourself?
I'm okay. We just got back from a trip, so my husband went on a trip through work, so yeah, came back from the lovely state of Florida. So yeah, trying to get back in my routines again.
Yes,
so this is fun.
Lovely state of Florida. You know, not to shit on Florida, because everyone does that anyways, but it takes a very interesting individual to live in the state of Florida.
It does. It totally does. And the beaches are nice, don't get me wrong, but the humidity and random rain, I'm good.
Now see that I'm fine with. It's just all the degents from down country.
True.
So this episode is our review episode, like I said, and we just kind of shoot the shit and talk about books and shows we've been watching. I have some opinions.
Okay. Okay.
No, just in general. I mean, I do have some opinions.
Because you have opinions normally, but I'm bracing myself for the opinions we got.
Well, the live-action Avatar The Last Airbender series was launched on Netflix. And I have some opinions. But
okay.
Let's talk about books first.
Okay. All right. I totally brace myself. I grab my desk and everything. I'm here. I'm ready to listen.
When did we last record? Let me look at this because I don't remember what all I have stuffed into my brain hole since then. Okay.
Solid.
We're good.
See, this is why I keep my current reads, what I'm currently reading, as what I've finished. So that way I remember.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, this was a good book. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Am I going first? Or you go first?
You're going first. Either one. do we want to just stick with books first? Or do we want to
We'll stick with books. We'll go books. And then we'll do shows.
Okay. Because like I said, I got opinions.
I was like, you look like you got some today.
I look like something. I look like a hot mess is what I look like. Girl, let me tell you, it is. I like all this extra work now because new position and stuff, and I got a lot going on at work. But anyways, yeah, so I'll start with books then, I guess. Is that what we decided?
Yeah.
So one of the books, actually probably the best one that I have read this year thus far, is Dark Wolf's Awakening by Ryan Evans. It is the first book in the Alpha Rising series.
Okay.
And I know what you're thinking. Of course, wolves, alphas, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It's a high fantasy series. It's a high fantasy book.
Okay.
The individuals in this land are basically wares.
Okay.
But the royals and the different houses, they typically stick to one type of ware. Well, this guy was an orphan. And the way it works is that if you are have an older bloodline, your ware is stronger.
Okay.
And yes,
that's totally normal.
Certain bloodlines are way stronger than others.
Totally.
But you don't go into your full strengths until after you've been around other nobility.
Okay.
So this guy's never been around any nobility, and he was like brought into the school, trained as a soldier, because he's a wolf. No one ever thought anything about it because obviously his fur was just like a gray color. But then he started feeling all these things and this hostility when he saw other, like finally saw the royals that were wolves that he was technically going to be working under. And when he transformed, his fur was a different color, and come to find out he is, spoilers, guys. He is the member of a thought to be dead family who is super strong, like one of the oldest families. And he's upsetting the status quo because he's tired of royals thinking that they're the most important and thinking their shit don't stink. And he's saying, fuck this, and overthrowing what is.
Okay.
I also read Jigsaw Blade, which was a really fucking weird book.
I immediately get like Saw vibes.
Well, no, so it's like there's these legendary swords that choose their wielders. And so this guy's like wanting to be a wielder of a legendary sword, and he finds one, and it's a jigsaw, which literally is a sword that he can take it and cause to turn into a saw and saw through things. And there's like dinosaurs and stuff. It's really bizarre.
That sounds weird.
I appreciate, so it's the Bizarre Blades book series. I appreciate what the author was trying to do. The book is by Stevie Collier, and I'll probably at some point read other books in the series. But yeah. I appreciate what she was trying to do. It's one of those things that's a very niche audience, and I think it would work better if she was writing a video game.
Okay. Sometimes it happens.
That series was nothing great. It was mediocre. Oh, here's a fun. Like, I read the first two books from what is the actual name of this series? Metal Fury. Read the first two books, which is I Am Mech and Mech Planet. Essentially, this guy is a mech pilot, which I'm not overly fond of mech stuff anyways, but this guy was a mech pilot, and he basically gets screwed over because the government's dirty.
Okay.
Shocker. And so he like pushed against that, and they left him for dead on a garbage planet. When he was on the garbage planet, he got these rings from this old dude who basically lets him construct things that anything he can imagine. So based off his will. So literally it's if Green Lantern was a mech driver.
Okay.
So this guy fights in a mech and uses like Green Lantern powers, but he's purple, and it's not the purple lanterns because, well, we're not getting into all that because that's a whole conversation for comic book nerds that may or may not be listening. Anyways. So he fights things against like gladiatorial slavery and capitalism and greed. Well, that was an interesting series. I read a book called Columbus Day, which I will not be reading any of the rest of the series, by Craig Allison. Super racist, super xenophobic, super nationalist. One of the worst books I have ever read. If I could rate it lower than a 1 star, I would.
You don't have to leave it any stars at all.
Yeah, but then if I don't leave it any stars, then it doesn't bring down the average.
True.
But I mean, I read a few other books. Those are really the highlights, the ones that stuck out to me. What about you?
So I finished The Only Survivors by Megan Miranda. So 10 years ago, two vans got into an accident and they fell off of a cliff and into the river, and only 9 kids survived out of these two vans from this, they were like on a field trip kind of thing. So they made a pact a year later, because one of the girls that survived the accident committed suicide. One of the girls, after her funeral, they made a pact that every year they're going to come to this house that one of them rents, and
why she committed suicide?
No,
like survivor's guilt or
I don't know. Well, you do know. You do know. You find out later in the book what happened.
Okay. So you do.
Yes. Because everyone thought that it was a deer that they hit. It's not a deer. But they make a pact that they're going to come to this house every year and make sure that they all stay together and okay. And the survivors themselves are kind of struggling with constantly coming back to the house together. The girl it follows, she wants to kind of be done with this. She's kind of over it being this part of her life type thing. But the book is told like a chapter in present, and then you go back to the accident and you get closer and closer to actually what happens, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it seems interesting.
I was like,
it's different.
Yeah. Well, and you find out how the accident was caused, which was fucked up. It wasn't a deer, like everyone's made to believe. It just, like, it took me forever to get into it. And I listened to this as an audio, and it just dragged on. And the narrator just sounded really whiny.
Like they didn't want to be reading it, or like they're just like,
I just don't know if they were portraying the characters. They were being very whiny. I'm not positive. I don't know if it was one of those things where they just didn't want to read it. So yeah. And there's like a podcast that's coming after the group and type thing. And you find out who it is, who's actually doing all this stuff and being really creepy and all this stuff. It's creepy. But
is it you?
No.
Are you the one being really creepy?
I mean, I can be creepy, but not in that way. God love my husband. Puts up with my ass. The next one I read was The Shoemaker's Magician by Cynthia Pleco. So
the this Shoemaker's Magician?
Magician. Yes.
Okay.
So
no shoemakers needed magicians. Sorry, I'm snarky today.
You are. You're a little spicy. As I like to say to people, you're a little spicy.
It's been a day. Anyways, please continue.
And I don't know why I do this, why I pick up like book two or three in a series.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I was sitting there and I'm like, I wonder if Kelsey's picked up any books right in the middle of the series again.
I have. So this is a duology. You can read the duology separate. It's even in her thing on Goodreads. Like, you can read them separate. The character development makes more sense. Anyway, I digress. So, it follows a horror movie. She's like a fanatic type thing. She's got her own YouTube channel, and it follows her little son, who is autistic. And she even says that he's autistic in the book. I'm not spitballing. She, like, legit says, like, he's autistic.
It's not like Big Bang Theory where they're like, he's totally not autistic, even though he shows all the traits of autism in a very negative way.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And her husband, who is a homicide detective for the city of Chicago. And what is happening is these horribly mutilated bodies are showing up in very old theaters around Chicago. And she, Polly, keeps getting messages of, I know you know how to see this movie and all this. So I don't know if the movie is real. Don't come at me. Not sure. There's a 3-minute clip, and it's a very old, it's one of the first horror movies made, called The House of the Devil. And the man who made it put like occult symbols and stuff in it and put like a spell in the movie that would call up like all these demons to do your bidding. And apparently in the book, Charlie Chaplin has the movie and hides it in Chicago. And there's a person that wants the movie. The problem is the movie only shows itself to high magicians. And it doesn't, and if you are not a high magician and you see the movie, your body literally liquidates like the vat from Roger Rabbit. It's so creepy.
So it looks like it was a horror film in 1896.
It should be like 3 minutes long.
3 minutes and 41 seconds. You can find the entire thing on YouTube.
Yeah. So apparently in the movie, in the book, that 3 minutes conjures up like the 72 demons. And we're about to find out.
I'm watching it right now.
Like, it's interesting. And you have a little bit of Greek mythology thrown in there. I don't understand why the Greek mythology part has to be in there. So that kind of threw me off. It's not bad. Don't think I'm going to read the first one. Because it took a bit.
No, I'm going to say, though, this is impressive. Like, the film. What?
Oh, yeah.
House of the Devil.
Yeah.
The stop motion and the moving in sets and like moving characters out magically. Because they do like the freeze frame, cut the film, and then have them like something in the sets changed. It's impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, she talks like that's part of the thing with her in the movie is she, or in the book is she watches all these movies, she gives reviews, she dissects all these horror movies. And she is trying to get an interview with a horror show, host, and his name is Grand. He's been around for forever. He doesn't grant interviews anymore type thing. He's kind of where I don't understand why his character's there. I get it. He's so mysterious. But he doesn't really do anything. Character
from the other book?
No.
Maybe it's like trauma relating to what happened in the other book?
Maybe. I don't know. But I doubt it. It's okay. It's alright. Like.
Yeah.
And then the next one I read, I finally finished The Night Circus. I read this on the airplane. I look like a weirdo because I've been digging, listening, and reading along like a weirdo. So I'm glad I read The Starless Sea before I read this one because it made her writing a lot better. Because she wrote this first and then she wrote The Night Circus first and then wrote The Starless Sea. There's some similar elements, the whole like time's not real type thing. Same, but basically there's a student and teacher, and the student doesn't agree with the teacher's teachings of magic. So they develop a contest, a game. And it is a game of endurance, and it's a game to the death. And they each pick out a person, and they bind the people together. And the one picks his daughter, and the other one picks this random orphan. And the man has the first move, and he picks the venue, and he picks a circus. And they make a circus with, like, all this magic and illusion. It's, honestly, it's a circus that I would kind of honestly like to go to. But it mainly focuses about them falling in love, and they realize that, you know, they have to fight to the death.
Wait, falling in love? Him and the other teacher?
The contest. So the girl, the daughter, the two contestants.
Oh, so the orphan and the.
Yeah. So the student picks his daughter. spoiler, it's a play on Merlin, because the teacher is Merlin.
Authority.
And, yeah. So, yeah. So basically the circus starts to become like the love letters that they would kind of want to write to each other. The tents that they build are tents to each other type thing. And Marco, the dude, eventually figures out that, because she's already figured it out, that like it's to the death. And she figures out a way to where it's kind of like a stalemate. I'm glad I read Starless Sea first, because I was struggling to get to start this, and then stopped, read Starless Sea, came back better. So beautiful.
Well, and like I said, Starless Sea is a literary love letter.
It is. It is. I loved that book. The next one I read made me think of you.
Uh-oh.
So, it's like Firefly meets Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
So it's a book in one of my book clubs this month. And it's part of a series, and I've actually started it at the right place this time, called The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers. It's the Wayfarer series. This was absolutely hilarious.
It sounds like something I would be into.
So, we're like real far into the future. Aliens are everywhere. Not on Earth, but like we are up into space, right? Whole bunch of aliens just ruling the galaxy. Us as humans, they all think we're stupid and that we're just horrible
people. They're right.
They're not wrong.
They're right.
And we now live on Mars. While the rich people live on Mars, the poor people live on homestead ships throughout the galaxy, right? So it follows Rosemary, who wants to escape what's going on Mars with her family, which is some pretty heavy shit. So she fakes some documents and wants to do long haul travel. And she gets picked as a clerk for the Wayfarer, which is a tunneling ship, which means they make black holes. And the crew, absolutely hilarious. Kizzy is by far one of my favorite characters. The shit that came out of that character's mouth, absolutely hilarious. There's no filter on her. She's funny. So part of it is they get a contract from the government, because the government has now allowed this hostile alien planet to be part of the union, I guess is the best way to explain it. The GC.
There's always some union, coalition of planets.
It's the GC is what they call it in the book. And so they are tasked with making a tunnel from the rest of the, basically like smack dab in the middle of the universe to the planet, so they don't have to go through all this shit to get there. Stuff happens, someone dies. But I loved how this pushed gender norms, because not all the aliens are he, she, some of them are they, some are both. Like, it pushes what you expect, what is the normal expected gender norms. It has awesome female characters, but it is so funny. It's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Firefly had a baby, and here we are. I'm on book two. I just started that the other day, because it follows...
Yeah, you'll have to send me the name of that so I can check it out.
It is funny. It's like 12-ish hours.
Yeah.
So it...
I already have my next book series that I have to read, that I gotta focus on next, because a friend of mine, well, technically two friends of mine. I guess I'm assuming it came from both of them. They're a married couple, but got it for me.
They already sent it to you. So it's absolutely funny. The stuff that comes out of Kizzy's mouth is so funny. Just, she's got no filter. She's got nothing there. And it's so funny. Literally, I'd be laughing out loud. It's funny. But, like, Rosemary falls in love with Sissix, who is, like, this, like, a reptilian alien. You know, you've got Doc Chef, which is, like, looks like Jabba the Hutt. But with, like, six arms. Yeah.
I love when aliens aren't, like, bipedal and, like, by...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever you call it, for hands. It's a lot more fun. It's like, really think that every species in the universe would have evolved to basically look like humans if they were advanced?
No. Like, there's fan art for it, and it is absolutely beautiful. I love that. That was funny. I'm on the second one, so we'll see how far. It's kind of starting a little weird. Because if I won't spoil it, but yeah, it's really funny. It was cool, good. Cool. That's all I got.
Okay, so let me talk about something here.
Let's do this. I'm prepared. Prepared.
So, started watching, and I'm going to finish the series because I'm a completist, and most things I have to finish out. But started watching, and I got over halfway through the Netflix adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Special effects are great.
Okay.
Casting's about 50-50. Some of the casting is spot on. Other casting is very much not happening.
Okay.
They did several characters so dirty.
Uh-oh.
They changed storyline, moved stuff around. I mean, you still have, like, the basic storyline, but they missed the spirit. They lost the spirit. They did one of the characters super, super dirty. And I'm not going to say which one. It pisses me off. They had so much potential. They tried to push together too many storylines into, like, one instance and had, like, things that happened in, like, six different places happen all in one place, and half of it doesn't even make sense. They had stuff that doesn't happen until season two of the series happening in season one.
Okay.
And there's people out there like, oh, yeah, they were trying to plug up plot holes. But the thing is that there were no plot holes. Like, one of the things about Avatar The Last Airbender is that there are basically no plot holes in the entire freaking series. And that it is basically the perfect TV series.
Yeah.
And they just...
messed it up.
Yeah. Massively. So I'm too tired to bitch anymore about it.
Okay.
It was garbage. It was shitty.
I'm sorry.
Haven't really had time to play games or anything like that. Yeah, so that's really all I've been up to.
So that's all I got. That's all I got.
Alrighty. Well, if you guys are above the age of consent in your state, I suggest you listen to our last episode, but extreme listener advisory, because it is on sex magic and stuff. Next episode, we are going to be talking about Celtic mythology, I believe, which is going to be a lot of fun. And, I'm tempted to just send Kelsey some words to see if she can pronounce them. Especially if they're written in Gaelic, because...
Oh, no.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be entertaining. Oh, no. It's going to be a me episode because of the Gaelic and because of that. And I'm not by any means an expert at pronouncing stuff, but...
better than me.
I am a little bit better than Kelsey.
You're a lot better than me.
That being said, you know, I welcome any pronunciation guides that anyone wants to send with some of the words. So, until then, I
Well,
am Johnny.
please rate, view, subscribe. Please tell a friend. Please join us on Facebook and Instagram.
I always forget about this part.
I do too. If you have a topic recommendation or book recommendation, if you need, or if you just need someone to talk to you about stuff, you can email us at thewaywarddragons@gmail.com. But yeah, until next time, John.
You're Kelsey?
And I'm Johnny.
I just said you're Kelsey. You just fucked it up.
Oh, whatever. Bye.